Well, it's about 5:28, and if you're listening on the stream, hello, how are you? If you're listening on KQSS, you're hearing it as a replay, because due to technical issues, I couldn't get to the transmitter, but I do have District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey with me in the studio, and we'll record this, and as soon as I figure out how to get it to the transmitter, we'll play it back, and we'll give you plenty of notice. We'll play it a few times, and it'll also be on Sunday morning on KJAA, so that's 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Big John on the news will definitely tell you when the replays will happen, and we'll do it a couple times. So with that in mind, for posterity and everything else, hi Tim, how are you?
Hi Rolly, I'm just fine. It's that time of year that it's warmer than everybody's used to, but it's got to get good and hot before we get any monsoons coming in, so let it get hot so we can get some rain, because we sure need it.
Yeah, it is good and hot, I'll say that. I was driving earlier and looked at the thermometer, and it was like 106, and I said, oh my God, it must be 116 in Phoenix.
Yeah, no kidding. At least we cool off a little bit in the evening. Yeah, that makes it better.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are times when we'll be shopping in the valley and it'll be like 10 o'clock at night, you're leaving Walmart and it's still almost 100 degrees. You're like, what? Yeah. Because here we go down to 65, 70. It's delightful.
Yeah, it's really nice to sit outside. Really nice.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, everything's been good. Been busy. It seems like right now there's a lot of projects in District 2. Coming to a head, and some of them I've been working on for 8 years, some of them 6 years, some of them 3 years, and so it's been busy, lots of meetings, but all in all, I've attended 3 agenda meetings since we talked last. It seems like a lot of the news stations are interested on the bridge. I've done
The Tonneau Creek Bridge. They should.
Yeah, I've done interviews with Channel 12 and Channel 10 and Channel 3 at the bridge. And while we're on that, there's a lot of question, when's the opening, when's this, when's that?
Yeah.
And it's been advertised in the paper and stuff that it's going to open on the 17th. And it may well open on the 17th, but there's not going to be anything. There's not going to be any portageons there. There's not going to be anybody speaking there. There's not going to be any,
event.
I'm saying that none of the TV stations are going to be there. No. It's a really soft opening. Everything's going to be on the 22nd, and then they're going to have a big tent with all the speakers, and then they'll have coolers blowing under the tents, and there'll be food trucks, and they'll probably close the bridge the night before so they can set up all of the stuff for the grand opening.
The 22nd.
If you're planning on going out there, go out there for the big deal, not just go out there the 17th, because there's not going to be anything there.
Okay, so the 22nd, what time?
I think it's 10 to 12.
Okay, 10 to noon?
Yeah, 10, okay. 10 to noon, and right. That'll give everybody a chance to speak and to cut the ribbon and, things of that. And, get there early, because there's going to be parking. I think they're getting permission to park at the school and, down near the town of, Punkin Center, and Forest Service may park there, and they're going to have shuttles taking people back and forth, because they're expecting a pretty big crowd.
Uh-huh.
Is what's expected, and so we'll see how that all. But yeah, really, really a special project for Gila County, again, not only for safety but for infrastructure, for all of that property on the other side. People are already subdividing and things, so.
This is so needed and so long. I mean, we're talking decades, and we're talking it was so dangerous, deaths and things of that nature. Normally you could cross it, and there was never really a problem, but then if there was water, there was no way to ascertain whether or not it was going to be fatal waters.
No, and like I say, when I was on the interviews and stuff, you saw people get rescued, you saw people not get rescued.
Yeah.
And there were people that took that chance every time they crossed it. Because flooded water, you drive through it, 30 minutes later, it could change. A rock could move, a tree come in, something could happen. And then all of a sudden, just because you made it 10 minutes ago, it doesn't make it okay now.
No, and the thing is that the workaround is so long, if you're going to do that, that it almost makes sense to tempt fate that way, because, what is it, 45 minutes to an hour if you're going around it?
Well, Yeah, you got to go all the way around Roosevelt out to 260.
So,
or cross in a boat, you know, if you have somebody picking you up on the other side.
Yeah, that's great.
You can cross in a boat.
Right.
But, yeah, it just really, it's just great for Gila County, in
yes,
my
it
opinion.
Yes, I agree.
And I know I've been working on it for 8 years, and so it's been a blessing to be a part of the teamwork and everybody working together to get that thing together and open. So,
good.
Yeah,
seconds.
So that's great news, and that's going to happen. And I just did a Roosevelt community meeting today at 1,
uh-huh.
and that went real well. And we've got a lot of chip sealing done in the Globe area. I think that all the crews are moving up towards Young, but you know, Wallaman Road and Johnson Road and Pinal Creek and they did quite a few roads chip seal here in the area. And I think I mentioned before the ones that were coming up so that people could get ready for construction and maybe not park their car on the street. So,
exactly.
But anyway, so that's good. We've got a lot of roads taken care of that were good. And our Golden Hills project, that's looking real good to finish the sidewalk. You know, out to US 60, and ADOT is working with us on that, and we've asked ADOT to do a 120-day calendar project so that they can expedite the project to only be 120 days, and it should be completed by the end of this year.
Sure.
Which would be a great thing, and if not, the first to next, because all of the drawings are done. They've been done for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The funding is there, and so it was funded by a transportation alternative grant.
Good.
And so, you know, we're all but ready to go on that project. So that'll be a good to have that sidewalk all the way down through there, because you see people walking in that area quite a bit.
Okay. Good.
And everything else is kind of moving along. We've got on Monroe Street, I don't know, but like if you go leave the back of the courthouse, that strip from the Guerrero complex over to the street there by Circle K, it's real narrow.
Yes, it is.
And it's real steep. And so, you know, we've about got that project ready to go too. We're gonna drop the elevation of it down a little bit and make it as wide as we can, without getting into property issues.
Right.
And so that Monroe Street will be where that's one of our next projects coming up. And I think it's 100% plans. And so now we're just working on getting the construction into that going, because you know, up at the courthouse you can't turn left, so everybody exits down by the county attorney's office and goes on Monroe Street.
Yes.
And that's really a dangerous street. I'm surprised things haven't happened there.
Thank God. Yeah, but I think people are aware, though, so you don't see people really speeding, fortunately.
No.
In terms of that, has there been a grant for that? Is it funded?
I believe it is. I believe it is, and I'm not sure how it's funded, but yeah.
Okay.
It had to be funded for us to go for plans.
Okay.
And I can check on that. And I get told all this information.
Sure.
But to be able to retain
absolutely.
All the information, you know, especially when I meet with Michael O'Driscoll at 9 o'clock this morning,
uh-huh.
and then I had my Roosevelt meeting at 1 o'clock,
sure.
phone calls and emails in between, and it's like, well, yeah, I remember what what funds most projects. Yeah, because it seems like a lot, we have a lot of different sources for funding, which is great now
mm-hmm.
that we are caught up in our state audits. And, you know, it's just amazing because we even have grant writers. And before, when I was first elected, Gila County didn't even have a grant writer.
Whoa.
And so, you know, so like I say, we have availability to a lot of different funding sources now that we, you know, we have a good credit, Gila County does, and we've got grant writers. And so, you know, we can reach out for things that we weren't able to before.
Good.
Yeah, and so that's a good thing. Russell Gulch is still a major deal, but we do have that project going on the lower part from like APS building down to the mines and stuff through there, or actually it's up a little further, is where it's going to start. And they're going to put a liner in that part of the creek that comes down by Cecil Trucking and APS and down through and then enters the mine. And this liner is supposed to carry like three times the water as it did when it flooded. And so I think right now we're finished with designed and it's pretty much funded. I think now we're going in. I think what the issue is now is going in and getting easements from the property owners.
Right.
And they were all real good and helped us a lot when we went in to clean out the creek. So I don't see any problem with the property owners along that creek helping us with access to be able to put that liner in.
Now, speaking of Russell Gulch, the landfill, what's the latest there?
Well, it's filled. The more we get it filled, the more trucks can go in at once, you know, on our landfill down here. And so time is, so if there's only room for five trucks down there, you can't let 10 go in.
Well, right.
So you just got to sit there until one or two trucks come out. So to help that, if you're one of the people going to the dump and you know, try to be as respectful as you can to not only your time, but other people's time. Because the sooner you get out of there, the sooner they can let somebody in.
Right.
So, you know, that helps. And I do believe they had a little issue with a liner, but all that's repaired now. And so that will help us fill part of that bottom part.
Good.
But as it fills up, we keep getting more and more room for people to unload their garbage.
All right.
And so that's getting better faster. And like I say, when we're there unloading, if you can get in and get out, then that just helps somebody else get in.
Right.
Good. And so that's good. And then up on Russell Road, I do believe that we got a grant for design on what's going to be done with the reconstruction of the road, so that we have access all the way through over to Six Shooter. We're working on that design right now, and then once the design, like I say, we have a what they call a smart grant for the design, and then once we get the design done, then we can go out for grant monies for construction.
Good.
And so that's looking better as we go forward, and something I would like to bring up just because it's been across my plate here a couple times this week is, you know, now like the Tonneau Basin area, Roosevelt area is growing. We're not growing as fast and as furious here in town. But I'd just like to let everybody know, if you're going to go buy a piece of property and you have all these dreams of the property, find out what you can do with the property before you purchase it.
Yes.
I mean, we get people all the time that, you know, well, my house was going to sit here and I was going to do this and I was going to do that. And I was like, well, you can't put your house on your septic tank, and you can't do
Does
this.
Someone try?
Yeah. Well, believe me, we've had people buy houses where the entire house was not permitted. It was built without a permit, and so this person wanted to build a garage, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Where did the house come from?
Yeah. Where did the house come from? What's up with, you know? And it's amazing.
What do you do in that case? Do you make them tear
well,
it down?
Well, you know, we're working with them. It's like, okay, how to eat elephant? One bite at a time.
No,
so it's like, okay, let's start, you know, is the elevation okay to start with? Is this okay? And, you know, if it was built by a set of stamped engineered drawings, good thing.
Right.
Then we can check the walls to see if they were built to design. But, you know, a lot of people, they'll buy 5 acres and they got all these dreams. And when the property was originally subdivided, there were rules to what, you know, I mean, if you were over 70 years old and sick, you couldn't buy property there. I mean, that was in the original paperwork of when it was subdivided, you know, things like that. So you need to, if you're looking at a piece of property and even houses, you know, people buy their dream house and then all of a sudden they decide to put solar on the garage and there wasn't a permit for the garage.
Yeah, this is huge. And we've talked about this so much about people wanting to bypass permitting because it has been such a cluster. And we all realize that.
Oh, well, believe me.
Firsthand.
I was a general contractor couldn't get a building permit.
Well, that's right. You know firsthand. So,
yeah, so I know.
I understand the urge to bypass it, believe me. However, I think it's treading on such dangerous water because theoretically, they could have you tear the house down. And that's what people don't realize. They're within the law. Oh, you might hate them and want to put firebombs at their house, but the law would let them do that.
And we're doing what we can to work with people. I would just like to urge people, you know, as this beautiful property out in Tono or wherever Roosevelt comes available, just check in to see how it's zoned. No. What's the stipulations when it was subdivided? What's your overall plan of the property?
Now, let me ask you, if you do this, can you get that in writing?
From
the city or the county or whatever municipal.
I would think so.
Yeah, I think that's the important. The reason I say that, I was talking with John recently, broadband is an issue everywhere. And for instance, in the Valley, there's some places that has fiber to the premises, which really want. And there have been cases where people have been told, assured fiber to the premises, they buy the house and then find out no fiber to the premises.
Right.
And, unless they had it in writing, they couldn't rescind the sale.
Right.
So what I'm wondering is if somebody goes through the due diligence and contacts the various department and then contacts, zoning and permitting, can I do this? They should be able to get that in writing so it's a promise.
I would think so. Yes. Okay. The zoning, how it's zoned, that's already in writing. You know, what you're going to need to get a permit would depend on, there again, what's your plans with it? If it's to grow vegetables, okay, cool. Then we'll check to see if you can grow vegetables. If it's to build a house, if it's whatever your intentions for the property are, you want to be sure that you can do that.
Yeah, I agree.
In the zoning and stuff, because it seems like multiple times in the last month, I have gotten calls where, we're trying to help people, because believe me, I realize if at one time it was difficult to get a permit or you just felt you didn't need one or whatever, it creates a lot of people, a lot of problems for people down the road. And so,
that's really interesting.
Because we're not, a lot of these problems aren't from the original purchaser of the property or not from the person that built without the permit. It's after the sale of things, because your title company, they just make sure the title's free and clear.
Right.
They don't go to a building department and say, is everything okay with this parcel of property?
So if you buy a house and that house was never properly permitted.
Guess what? You just bought everything.
Well, is there a way to call the department to say, is this permitted?
You can check the parcel on what's on the parcel.
Right, but can you find out if it was permitted?
Yes.
Okay, so they'll tell you that, because it's not something you can easily check online.
Well, yeah, you can pull up a plot map and see, and if there's not a garage on the plot map, it's like, chances are it was built without a permit.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is a lot of these websites are very, very difficult to access and use.
Sure.
And so if someone were to say, hey, I want to buy this house, I want to put an offer, but I'm calling you at permanent zoning to make sure this was permitted properly, I need to know.
Right.
They'll tell you.
You know, it may take some time, but you would need the parcel number so they could pull up the map of the parcel number.
Well, you'd have the parcel number because you're going to buy the house. But beyond that,
you'd have to ask them, is there, or is that why they sold the house? Because they were having problems with their cesspool and they signed the paper for the realtor that everything was fine. Well, the realtor's not going to question them. And so the realtor's going to sell the house. Mm-hmm. And then the person bought the house and the realtor says,
I
got the paper signed by the person that was selling the house and they said everything was good. And all of a sudden you call planning and zoning and it's like, no, your cesspool has failed. And so actually you can't live in that property.
Right.
Type thing. So I'm just saying that in the world we live in today,
don't take it for granted.
Yeah, don't take things for granted, please.
That's very good advice.
I'll tell you what, I'll even go as far as if you're going to buy a piece of property in Eagle County, call me, I'll help you check it out.
Because
believe me, it will help me down the road, and it'll help me work with staff on how we can prevent some of these problems going forward.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, so a house was built out without a permit and it has sold twice. Wait, okay. How could that have been prevented? Do we need to, I know, I'm less government, believe me.
No.
But is there something that could be applied to where these people don't purchase these things without knowing it ahead of time?
No, it's important. And also historical documents. For instance, we were doing a permit on one of our properties that it was alleged to be R1, and I said, it's not R1. And thank God someone in the office went and researched it, and it was like 1964. They rezoned that particular parcel to TR8, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it wasn't apparent because the maps that planning and zoning said, it's R1.
Right.
But it's not. So,
right.
You know, it has to be a way that somebody can research it as well, rather than just say, nope, that's R1.
Right.
So, and this...
And I think what will help a lot of that down the road is we're starting to, you know, take all of our old paper files, mm-hmm. and, you know, get them into digital filing. So not only is it faster for us to look up information, but also for the public, you know, so that we don't have tons of paper back in... Dungeon file cabinets and things of that nature.
And ease of use, you know, on
sure.
some of these sites, and it's not just, you know, Gila County or anything, it can be anywhere in the country. Some of the sites are a pleasure to use, and that's like 10%.
Yeah.
And then some of them, forget it. You could have state secrets because no one's going to find it.
Well, I got to be honest, all of them are difficult for me, Raleigh.
Well, I understand that, but and believe me, point taken, but even for people who usually are pretty adept at negotiating sites,
sure.
most of these, because they're very often parcel to a third party
right.
who's handling it,
right.
and then you've just, you know, gone to hell.
Yeah, yeah, the problem just compounded.
Right, and of course they're doing it in Guatemala.
Yeah, so. and updates are updated, but, you know, how...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the old table where you said a word and by the time it came back to you, it's completely
different. Yeah, right, it's
sentence.
Poodle. Yeah, right,
so
right.
So same on some of the updates on the other
No, that's absolutely true. I look at some of the numbers and I say they're doing it in base 5. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, understood.
This has been District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey's Community Meeting. The next Community Meeting will be July 8th at 5:30 live on KQSS.